around you as well. And I should have mentioned my name. I'm Kirk Freeman. Good to meet you, or good to talk to you today. And we are talking about walking in the Spirit. And I want to ask this, or start with this. Do you have a nickname? Does anybody have a nickname for you? So raise your hand if somebody has a nickname for you. You know, I'm not going to ask you to come. I'm not going to ask you what it is. Oh, wait, are you all asleep back there? Like, does anybody, nobody back there has a nickname? If you have a nickname, raise your hand. All right, there we go. Raise his hand. That's right. Well, I nicknames. My mom called me Kirky Perk. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you now to forget that I told you that. Okay. She called me Kirky Perk. So don't ever do that unless you're my mother. I have a nickname for all three of my daughters: Belle, Bear, and Barry. Because it's Ellie, Belle, Mary Callen is Mary Barry, and Sarah Grace is Sarah Barra. So anyway, Belle, Bear, and Barry are our kids' names. And our kids most often call us by the nickname Mama and Papa or Daddy, but Mama and Papa a lot. And then for some reason, yeah, Sarah Grace, my middle girl, and then started calling us, instead of Mama and Papa, Marmot and Porpoise. That's what comes to mind. And I'm telling you, girls, don't go out and get married, have children, have the grandkids calling me Porpoise. Okay, we're just not. I have a nickname for Debbie. If I told you, she'd kill me. She calls me Honey Bear. No, she doesn't. That's her. Did you hear? That's right. That's the only reason I said that. Here's the thing about my wife is, like, I'll say funny stuff and everybody will laugh, and then I'll say some other things and only Debbie will laugh. And she's like uninhibited. She does not call me Honey Bear. If she did, I wouldn't tell you, because then every Sunday it would just change the way you listen to me, I think, you know? So, but you know, the thing about nicknames, you have to be given a nickname. You can't make, now trust me, I said, hey Debbie, for a week, just a week, I want you to just try, see if this catches on, okay? I said, I want you to call me K-Love. Because I'm positive, encouraging, and maybe some other reasons, okay? But I was like, just try, just call me K-Love. It was like, she just didn't even answer. Just like I didn't exist. She did not try. The reason is because a nickname, you can't make up your own nickname. A nickname is someone else's identity for you. Now, hopefully it's a loving one, right? And you don't make it up yourself. You just receive it. And it's a term of endearment, and you receive that. And that has a lot to do with walking in the Spirit. Because remember, I gave you a definition of what walking in the Spirit is. To walk in the Spirit is to believe that what Jesus says about you is true. It's the very first step of walking in the Spirit is an identity step. To believe that, who am I? It is who Jesus says I am. And when he says in Galatians, or he says through Paul in Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. To keep in step, we have to believe that what he says about us is true. So when he says, when you put your trust in him and you begin to follow him, he says, you're forgiven. Okay, when you say, you're the shepherd, I'm the sheep, and I'm going with you, he says, I redeem your past. He says, you're a new creation. So if he says, we're going this way, I can't really keep in step with him if he says I'm redeemed and I think I'm a loser, or I'm still guilty, or I'm still that guy that was partying and making bad decisions and has all those regrets. How can I keep in step with him if he says, you're a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17? How can I keep in step with him if I think I'm the old creation? The first step of walking, literally walking in the Spirit, is to believe that what Jesus says about you as his child is actually true. You gotta embrace that. And that's what we talked about last week. But I want to give you, every week I've given you a different definition or an elaboration of the definition of walking in the Spirit. Here's the second one for today. It is that to walk in the Spirit is to hear and obey the voice of Jesus. the spiritual voice of Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, he said, blessed, blessed. Don't do blessed. Blessed sounds like, I don't know, you're a preacher. Then you don't want to sound like that. But blessed are those who hear and obey the word of God. Jesus wants, now this may be new for you, but I'm going to give you the whole bit. We've been talking about the biblical premise for it. Jesus wants to speak to you. Not wacko, weird, like, you know, you're hearing voices, but there's a spiritual voice and he wants to speak with you. Do you remember last week I said that every meaningful relationship you have is predicated upon communication? Your best friends are your best friends because you communicate best with them. It's just easy. It's just, I click with, one of the reasons, Debbie and I have such a healthy marriage is because we communicate well, and it's just easy most of the time to communicate with one another. And Jesus wants to communicate with you. And I'm reviewing this with you because I think if our spiritual enemy could do anything to disrupt your relationship with Jesus, what he'd want to do is break the lines of communication. He'd want you to think, well, you know, he's too busy. He'd want you to think that that Jesus doesn't have a spiritual voice and you can't hear him. He'd want you to think that what he has to say is angry or he's disappointed and it's condemning. And so I want to give you, and this is a great time to take out, if you don't have something to write with, just take out your phone, take a photo of these screens as I put them up. But I want to show you one more time the biblical foundation for God speaking to us, how he does that, why he does that. And the reason I want to give it to you is because it's so important, and because I want you to listen not as a receiver. I want you to listen as a reproducer. It's just like Sarah. Sarah said, I'm not fighting for freedom, contending for freedom just in my family. I'm contending for freedom in everyone's family, in the world. And I'm not, as your pastor, I'm not just trying to help you have a better life and for you to thrive. I want to equip and mobilize you to change the world. That's what God has for you. And it and your world and your impact on the world could be like a Billy Graham, but it also might be your neighbors and your coworkers, and it will at least be them. And so I want to equip and mobilize you. So I want you to understand as you listen to me, listen like someone who's going to hand that baton off to another person who might never hear me say it. So some things that the Bible says is true, that are true about hearing God. And the first is that you can, number one, you can discern the voice of Jesus. He says that, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Anybody raise sheep in here? Okay, forget that illustration. One, okay, you have, and my granddaddy did, and they know, the sheep know their shepherd and they recognize his voice. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. If you're his sheep, it doesn't, and he's not saying, well, are you a good sheep or are you a bad sheep? Are you a sheep who always does the right thing or are you a sheep who does the bad stuff? He says, if you're my sheep, if you are looking to me and I'm your shepherd, you will hear my voice. Okay? So any other thing that's telling you, well, that's for other people. No, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Secondly, Jesus speaks through the Holy Spirit. Maybe somebody has heard an audible voice. I'm not going to argue that, but what I'm saying is that we know for a fact that he says in John 14 that the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said. He wants you to be reminded. You know, when we were talking about nicknames, Jesus wants you to be reminded of who you are, your identity, because your identity is consistently under assault. Think about your week. Think about what you encounter. And if you don't renew your mind and give the Holy Spirit time, then you won't be reminded. But he wants to do that. And Jesus speaks to us spiritually through the Holy Spirit. And then third, the Holy Spirit loves to use Scripture. 2 Timothy says that all Scripture is God-breathed. Last week, I went over this verse more in depth, and I told you that that Greek word for God-breathed means from the Spirit. So it's like all Scripture is Spirit-sent. It's from him. That's why he loves to use it, because it's his words. I was in staff meeting the other day, or where I was somewhere, and Chris Dillashaw was speaking, and he had already said, Kirk has told us a number of times, da 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 da. And I guess I had drifted off a little bit, and I was a little distracted in our staff meeting, because after he said, this thing, I had forgotten that he'd said I'd said it. And I said, Chris is exactly right. And then he looked at me like, yeah, I just said you said that. And, well, there's a sure way to be right. And the Holy Spirit is the same way. The Holy Spirit loves to use Scripture because it's his. It's God-breathed. It's sent from him. And so it makes sense that he would use Scripture to remind us. But he loves to remind us personally. The reason I have a different nickname for each of my girls I love them all, and I want to convey my love. And so I could say just, I love you, I love you, I love you. And just in a tiny piece of the love puzzle at the Freeman household, I use nicknames to personally convey that love to each one of them. I want to do it in a way that they each understand and feel special, because they are. But rather than say, y'all are special, I'll speak to Belle or Bear or Barry. God's like that. He's the best of fathers. And the Holy Spirit loves to remind you personally in a way that you can understand, in a way that's meaningful personally to you, still in alignment with Scripture, but personal to you. I'm telling you this because I'm teaching you, we're learning together how to relate to Jesus. You know, we talk about him very often as if he's not in the room. But he says, I am always with you, and I will never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I mean, I ought to step off the stage, or at least stand to the left, because Jesus is here with us in spirit, and we ought to give center stage to him. And he's letting us dialogue about him, but he wants to speak to your spirit personally. Then the fourth thing, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God, but we, number four, have to put the sword in the Spirit's hand. In Galatians 6, Paul tells us, to put on the full armor of God. That's a whole nother series of messages we'll go look at another day. He says, but put on the whole armor of God, the full armor of God, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have to pick up the word of God. This is where our responsibility comes in. And we engage our minds and give the Holy Spirit room to wield that sword in our lives. And it's a spiritual relationship, but that's what we have to do. Now, you remember the four things that I told you, the four parameters that help us understand how the Holy Spirit speaks? Right now, we've just said, hey, Jesus speaks. You can hear his voice. It's going to be a spiritual voice. It's going to be, he loves to use Scripture, so you got to be in the Word of God. Okay, so let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit speaks, put those four things up. Take a picture of that if you didn't last week. He always speaks consistent with what he's already said, which is Scripture. He's not interested in coming up with new Scripture. It's there. What we need is already written. He's going to personally apply it to us, though. And secondly, he always speaks consistent with the character of God. I say this because you've got a spiritual enemy who deals in lies. That's his modus operandi. And so he speaks lies to you. And how he does it, that's another spiritual, bit of a spiritual mystery. But He speaks lies to you. Your past speaks lies to you. And so you need to know that when you're discerning, is what I'm sensing and feeling and that thought that's emerging in my mind, is that from the Holy Spirit or not? Well, I'm telling you, he'll always speak consistent with Scripture. And he'll always speak consistent with his character. So you need to get to know Jesus. But the Psalms, remember, this is one of my favorite verses or favorite passages. King David said that the Lord is slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He's gracious. He's compassionate. That's who he is. So he speaks in concert, in alignment with his character. You can expect that. Teaching you how you can recognize his voice. He's always positive. He's never condemning. We said last week that, yes, he is convicting. He is convicting. And sometimes conviction, oh, you kind of feel that, oh, I did this last week. I won't tell you the details. But I said something, and later on, I was busy, and I was moving, and I fell into boss mode. I forget what the context was. And so I sort of played that card and went on. And then later on, I realized, oh, yeah, that was not right. So I had to circle back and make it right with that person, confess it to the Lord. I felt that conviction. It wasn't condemnation, but you know, like when you're driving down the highway, and sometimes they have those scalloped things along the side, and you drift off the side of the road, and all of a sudden it's, you know, okay, somebody nod, otherwise I'll keep making noises like that. So somebody comes and gives me the Heimlich. So when you go off, it's not a pleasant ride to run over those scalloped areas. And it's no good on your car either. But it's convicting. It's convicting. It doesn't hurt you, really. But it's not comfortable. And the conviction of the Lord, he loves you too much. It's like the highway department, TxDOT, loves you too much to let you go off the road. Jesus loves you too much. He loves you too much to let you just go off the road without ringing the bell, running you over the scallops. And so it's conviction, which is totally different from condemnation. And then the fourth thing, and I love this, is that he'll always, whatever word he gives us, whatever encouragement he gives us, he can confirm that. And he will confirm that in the lives of other believers. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. So as I walk in the Spirit and I hear things, he'll confirm that in community, as I walk in community. This is why and I know the majority of you are in life groups at Crossbridge, but there we go. Are we doing that for that now too? I mean, why not? Come on. I know the other times we do it. That's good. I'm up for that. In fact, that's the best use of a whoop I can think of. So I know the majority of you are in life group. Okay, there we go. Staffel, we just started a tradition, bro. You started it and I stamped it, okay? So because in there you have people with whom you can bounce what you hear from the Lord off of, and you can say, hey, this is what I'm feeling and sensing. And they can say, yeah, that's straight from Scripture. Let me show you, or let me encourage you in that. Or, hey, no, I think you're carrying a burden that's not yours to carry. Take a picture of this, because you're going to have to teach this to somebody. This is part of disciple making. And I'm equipping you, not, I'm hoping we become equipped, not just to run after Jesus, but to help others do that as well. So this is how we know how the Holy Spirit speaks. But let me ask you this. You know, the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to do it again, just a heads up, I've given you a listening card, right? And we've looked at a passage of Scripture, we've observed some and made some observations about it, and then we've waited quietly and we've said, Jesus, what do you want me to know? And then we've written it down and we've tested it against those parameters. In fact, go back for a second to the parameters, if you would. So we've tested it against that. That's how we know if we're hearing correctly or not. And we've been asking him, last week he said, would you remind me of what is true about me? Or would you remind me what you think of me? But what if, isn't it possible that what the Holy Spirit tells you might actually be for someone else? Might he also be giving you something consistent with this, but it's actually for you to hand off to somebody else. Why would he do that? Aren't there times when anxiety or grief or fear or worry are ringing so loudly in our heads that it's hard to discern the voice of Jesus. It's hard to make ourselves sit still. We're so, And so you know what Jesus does? He's so generous. He's so generous. He's so kind. He'll share an encouragement with someone who's not in that drowning phase of life or season of life. And he'll give it to them to give it to you verbally, so that you hear it with your physical ears. Because sometimes it's hard to shut out the other noise when you're trying to make a spiritual connection. So he says, let me help you with that. He says, I'm going to give some encouragement to this person to give to you. And if it's from me, he says, it's going to be consistent with Scripture. It's going to be consistent with my character. And it's going to be positive. And it's never going to be condemning. But he loves to do that. You see, there's people that don't know that Jesus speaks. And so, to those who are listening, he'll speak a word of encouragement. Maybe he'll give you a picture. Let me give you an example. In May of this year, I was doing exactly what we do with the listening cards. I was in the Word. This is just me. I was in the Word in my office, in my study area, in my house. And then I was waiting on the Lord. And I was writing down. I said, you know, just like I had last week with you all, Kirk, I want you to know. And I just began to write, knowing I could test it and prove its validity. I began to write, and the words that came to my mind were this: Kirk, I want you to know that I'm going to give you the heart of David, King David, okay? And he said, you've already got it, but I'm like really gonna give it to you. And the one main distinctive about David, other than some huge screw-ups that he made, he was a mess half the time, okay, was that every time he discovered that he was off track, he immediately went back. He never made an excuse. He was never like rationalizing it away. When he did something that was outside of the will of God and the Lord rang his bell somewhat one way or the other, David immediately went back because he was after God's heart. And that's what he said. I'm going to give you the heart of David. You have it some, but I'm going to dial it up. And I'm like, yes, Jesus. I want to be more like that. I want to be a man who goes after you when I veer off and I'm aware of it. Man, forget making excuses. Forget letting it sit and letting it stew and get worse and worse. Lord, I want to be the guy that comes back immediately. Okay, so during the summer, when the Lord gives you encouragement, remember what encouragement is? It's courage put in you. In courage. Okay, and what do you need courage for? You only need courage if you're fighting a battle. So he gives you encouragement for present battles and future battles. And so when I hear something that's significant, it strikes my heart, that's from the Holy Spirit, and I write it down, I want to keep remembering that so that I view my circumstances against the context of that encouragement so I don't freak out. Well, in the fall, a few weeks ago, I went through sort of a discouraging short season. And that word of the heart of David had not... I just forgot it. And after Immerse, our worship night, or something else, I forget, a person who's one of our leaders says, hey, can I share something with you? I feel like the Lord has given me a word of encouragement for you. And I'm like, by the way, I always have time for that, in case you're wondering. So I stop, and this person says, I was just praying for you, and the name David, like King David, came to mind. And that's all they had to say about that, was just the name King David. David, God sees you like David. And then they said, and I also got a picture of a heart. And it was a heart that, like a human heart, and it had chains on it though. And then as I was thinking about it, I saw those chains go away and the heart became healthier and stronger and thriving. And that was all that person had. But that was like enough to go, oh my gosh. Heart of David. It was just reminding me of God's word, like him saying, that's still true. I'm still doing that. So you need to take courage. God loves to do that. Sometimes he'll give you, and different people are different ways. Sometimes God speaks to you and gives you a picture just like a heart with chains on it in this case. Sometimes he'll give you a scripture. You know, this person didn't have a specific scripture, but they could have said, you know, she could have given me one or out of David's life. But that's not how God did it for this person that time. The Lord might just give you a straight up word of encouragement like this. I came in to something else I can't remember, and one of our people came in who I know is with us and running with us, but I hadn't seen in a long time, and sort of out of the blue, they said in that way, you know, like that they really meant it. They said, "Hey, I just want you to know I'm really grateful. That was it. I'm really grateful that you're my pastor. You're doing a great job." And it wasn't a, "Hey, buddy, you did a great job today." It was like when the Lord speaks encouragement to you that's for someone else, and you're faithful and humble, and you share it with that other person, it lands with his weight. You don't have to push on it. That's a good point to write that. You do not have to push on it. It lands with the weight that the Holy Spirit desired for it to land with. And I was like, wow, I just needed to hear that right then. And so here's what we're going to do. Our ushers are going to hand out the listening cards again, all right? And we're going to listen. And if this is your first Sunday with us, then I'm gonna give you an option. If you've been with us the last few Sundays where we've been talking about this series, Walking in the Spirit, I'm going to give you, so just hand out a bunch of them, and if they got extras, we'll get them around. But if you've been with us a few weeks, what I want to do is this. We're going to put some scriptures on the screen. We can go ahead and do that. And I want you, we're going to pray. You're going to read these a couple of times through. And then you're going to write your name in that blank that says, "I want you to know." But this time you're asking the Lord, is there any encouragement that he wants to give you to give to someone else? Maybe he's going to bring someone's name to mind. He may accompany it with a scripture, a picture. It could just be the, "Hey, I'm thankful for you. You're doing a great job." It doesn't have to be all, you know, religious stuff, okay? But what we're giving God room to do is bring to mind the name of someone specific and something with which we might encourage them on his behalf. Remember I told you that God loves to do this? The Holy Spirit loves, Jesus loves to remind us who we are. And he's so generous that he wants to include you in that. He wants to share, he wants you to experience the cool joy that he feels when he shares something to a person and they go, "Oh, wow, yeah, the heart of David." Don't you know that it makes Father God smile when he says that? And I'm like, "Yes, God, that's encouraging to me." And he wants to include you in that process. Okay? But I'm also give you another option. As we read these scriptures, you might also ask God, if this is where you are, you might just also ask him, "Would you remind me of what is true about me? What do you think of me?" Remember, it will never be condemning, maybe convicting, but it'll be positive. And I just want you to write it down. We can always check it. But let's do this. I always start this way. I told you last week, what I'm really doing on this Sunday, you know, a lot of Sundays I'll just preach and it won't be like a laboratory, you know, a lab class like we're doing here. But this is so important. Everything else I teach hinges on your ability and the health of your relationship and your ability to hear Jesus, okay? So we're doing a laboratory. So in my own devotional time, quiet time, time with Jesus, whatever you call it, I always say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you've given me the Holy Spirit to speak to me, to remind me of what is true." As I read the scriptures, Holy Spirit, I'm willing, I'm submitting, I'm yielding, that's it, I'm yielding to your teaching. Would you bring to mind what you want me to know? Now let's just read these a few times. Don't let a word escape you. Maybe there's something about spur in the Hebrews that grabs you, or counsel in the Colossians verse. But look for a verse that kind of pops out, and think about that a little deeply. And then ask the Lord, is there anyone who you want me to encourage, and how? And then just write it. We'll just do that for a few minutes. Like 5 minutes max. This is the heart. This is like the bread and butter of walking in the Spirit. And if it's hard, or it didn't click, or whatever, keep after it. Okay, relationships grow, right? All the same principles that you already know that are important to healthy relationships, they all apply to your relationship with Jesus. So press in, keep on, go after him, okay? But there's also sometimes things get in the way, just like in relationships, things can get in the way of that communication. And you might ask God, hey, is there something that's in the way? That's an okay question to ask too. and write that down. And that may lead to some counseling. We have lots of awesome counselors with which we have relationships. It may lead to our Freedom Prayer Ministry, which is on our website. But you want to get clear those things out. And Jesus wants to clear those things out that keep you from, that hinder you from relating to him more closely and more deeply. But we're going to continue our series, but you've done something. If you've been here the past couple, 2, 3, 4 weeks, you've practiced hearing God for yourself and hearing God for other people. And now you have a decision to make. This is where it gets exciting. You have a decision to make. You can live your life like you're a bowl, or you can live your life like you're a pitcher. And a bowl and a pitcher are very similar in the fact that they're both made to be filled up from something else, right? The difference between a bowl and a pitcher is that the pitcher is also designed to pour out. And that's what God wants to do with you. He wants you to make that time to hear his voice, to be in his word, to receive his encouragement for yourself and for others. And then he wants you to live a life of being a pitcher, a life of being poured out. In a moment, we're going to talk with you about a lot of our mission outreaches that are going to be global in nature. And you know what? You know who we want to take? We want to take everybody. We're going to take everybody. But you know what's going to be powerful is when you go and you're a person who hears the Lord, and you can encourage others and bless others with his spiritual encouragement. I want you to live life like a pitcher. Decide that. God, I'm telling you, as you speak to me, I'm going to be available to be poured out. That's what we're doing on the planet right now. And you notice here, notice these verses, they all have a phrase underlined: one another, each other. Can you put the screen up in the middle that has those other verses? Look, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible that has the words one another in it, or each other in it. And if you look at it, it says, man, encourage one another. It says, share your struggle with one another. Offer hospitality to one another. You know, we're really not doing these things here, are we? I mean, this Sunday morning thing is an important gathering of the church, but these are the activities of the church. This is what the people who follow Jesus, this is what we do, but we're not doing it today. In our culture, right here, in this context, and our culture has made us think that this is church. I'm going to church, and that this is what God wants you to do. And I'm not saying it's bad, right? But you can't do this stuff here. That's why not only does God want you to know who you are and answer your identity question, he wants you to know that you belong to his family. And the only place that we have at Crossbridge where we do this kind of stuff regularly is in what we call life groups, groups that meet each week in people's homes. We rotate homes. And this stuff takes place. And what I know, again, the majority of you are already in a life group, but what I want, for those of you who aren't, I'm saying, oh, you belong. You belong. You belong here. And I want you to think, I know that you're already doing something with that time. And so I want to be sensitive to that, but I just want to ask you to pray and see if God would have you take another step closer into his family, where we actually get to be the church and do what the church does. It's where the pitchers all meet together and we pour into one another. And maybe someone's in a hard place and they're a bowl that night. That's cool too. But you come to life group. You who are in life group, I'm telling you, you need to be doing what we're doing so that you come to life group as a pitcher. If you're in my life group, you need to be in the Word of God, because I need people that are encouraging me. I don't go to my life group as Pastor Kirk. I just go as normal Kirk. And I need you to come as a pitcher. And I'll come as a pitcher too. And we'll be the body of Christ together, okay? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. We give you room Speak, speak. You complete the work. Even as I finish teaching, God, you're the real teacher. So would you just keep this percolating in us, God, and that we might walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm going to invite a friend up, Elsa Izzell. But before she comes up, I want to challenge you. I'm inviting you now for real. No, I'm just kidding. No, I am. Come on. No, I'm just teasing. No. Okay. I don't know why we can't keep staff. They just, no, come on up, Elsa. That is the little brother. I'm a third child. I'm the youngest. And I got to pick on people. So I found these online for 59 cents. These composition books. Now, sometimes you like to have a nice leather journal with a leather strap around it, and you use a quill and an inkwell to, you know, and you write, thou shalt encourage, be encouraged. But other times you just want to write and just get down with what Jesus says. So I got 200 of these. I have 100 for you, and I have 100 for the other service, okay? They're free. So it's just a chance for you. I want you to download the Crossbridge app, all right? Good, I see everybody doing that. That's awesome. And I want you to download the Crossbridge app, and in it, click Bible study. Every week I give you the scriptures from which I'm going to teach, all right? And I want you to do what we did today and last week, and I want you to write it down. I mean, they give you a journal, all right? And the journals are on these tables right over here. They're absolutely free. I want everybody to give me 59 cents. Just give me 59 cents cash. I'm sure you have it on you. But pick up a journal. I've only got 100 of them, so I need you to go over there kind of and get it before other people do. You may have another journal. You may use something else, but I want you to have a journal and try it this week. And your other homework is to give that encouragement that you received today. Complete the loop. You give it to that person in the name of Jesus, okay? Let's give it up for Elsa, for real.